This is the LA Local Evening Update, keeping you caught up with the latest from KNX News. Check back each weekday afternoon for the LA Local's full daily briefing on what you need to know in SoCal.
Good afternoon, I'm Rob Archer. President Biden getting a lot of pushback after he pardoned his son, Hunter. Was that an outrage or the right call? We'll go in depth. But first, an update on the woman from Hawaii who went missing from LAX last month. Sources at the LAPD have told multiple outlets that Hannah Kobayashi is now in Mexico, that law enforcement has obtained video showing her crossing the border into Mexico on November 12th or 13th, and that there is no evidence of foul play. An LAPD official says she's an adult and she could choose to be missing. Earlier, LAPD Chief McDonald had reported that Kobayashi had intentionally missed her connecting flight at LAX last month, but her family disagreed with that. And we're expecting Chief McDonald and other LAPD officials to talk about the case at a news conference in about a half hour. When it starts, you will hear it live here on KNX News. A convicted murderer on the loose after jumping out of a prison van while he was being transported to a court appearance. Cesar Hernandez got away after arriving at the Kern County Superior Courthouse this morning. He's been in state prison since 2019 after being convicted of first-degree murder in L.A. County. He was sentenced to 25 years to life in prison. State Attorney General Rob Bonta has announced his support for two abortion-related bills now in the legislature. One would ensure women in California can continue to have access to medication abortion, while also shielding manufacturers and distributors of the medication from lawsuits. The second bill would let the state sue cities and counties that block or obstruct abortion providers.
As they say, failing to plan is planning to fail, and we are planning. This legislation is us planning to stay ahead of the curve, regardless of what the Trump administration has in store for the future of abortion care.
Bonta says there have been examples of local governments trying to block abortion providers. Says the most recent one was Beverly Hills, which he says tried to interfere with an abortion provider's ability to open within the city. Closing arguments wrapped up today in the case of whether Burbank can euthanize a pit bull who bit someone while allegedly protecting its owner. Emily Valdez reports.
The family of Conan the Pitbull says the dog was only protecting his owner from a neighbor who's been harassing the dog allegedly for months. He bit the woman in the arm in January.
And she came down the alley and she stopped and she started saying stuff to his mother, and he came outside and he stood by his mother, and his mother kind of stood in front, no, behind him, because she was scared of this woman, and he gave a warning bite.
Shira Scott Astroff is speaking for the family. She's the founder of Animal Rescue Mission. She says the judge did not rule on the case, but will send them her decision.
I think everyone left there feeling like she's not going to have the dog killed, but, you know, it's just a scary thing until we hear that.
If the judge does allow Conan the pit bull to live, there likely will be conditions such as possibly declaring him a vicious dog, him not being allowed off the property unless on a leash and muzzled. It's unclear when the judge will make her ruling.
There is an $80 million campaign underway to spruce up the iconic Rose Bowl in Pasadena. Karen Adams reports.
Six of the eight projects to modernize and upgrade the Rose Bowl are already fully funded or have been completed.
We did a rehab on our historic Rose Bowl marquee, and everybody, probably the most photographed sports shot in town when people come to LA, they want to get that shot of the Rose Bowl marquee. We were able to do a rehab on that, replace all the LEDs. So now for UCLA games, we turn it blue. When the Dodgers won the World Series, it was Dodger blue. It's a great way for us to lean into the history. You know, this building is so important because it's been around for 100 years, and that marquee has become, you know, really the calling card for this building. So it was a wonderful project that we were able to invest in. The other project that we finished prior to the UCLA season was actually a brand new $1.5 million sound system inside the seating bowl.
And Rose Bowl operating company CEO Jens Wyden says other projects include a new field level club in the south end zone.
So we're going to build a club that the UCLA team is going to run out through at the south field level and really be the first time that you have that premium offering at field level at the Rose Bowl.
He says the upgrades, some to be completed in 2026, others after the 2028 Olympics, are being paid through privately raised funds. In Pasadena, I'm Karen Adams, KNX News, 97.1 FM.
A San Fernando Valley man has pleaded not guilty in the case of the meth-caked clothes. Raj Matharu of Northridge entered his pleaded charges. He tried to check in two suitcases filled with clothes that were stiff because they'd been caked in meth. He was getting on board a flight to Australia from LAX last month. The trial's been set for January 21st. He's facing a sentence of 10 years to life. For the second year, no emergency winter shelters are planned for homeless people in Orange County. Night's going to be cold this week, most temperatures dipping into the low 40s and 50s. The county had provided shelters most years since at least 2007, usually at the National Guard Armories in Santa Ana and Fullerton. They haven't been available for the last few years. For the last couple of winter seasons, Orange County has tried to create a new model that would operate during all extreme weather conditions, not just cold. It would include more collaboration with local officials, and a challenge has been getting a buy-in from cities willing to collaborate on these types of emergency shelters. The Shen Yun dance group being accused of forced labor and child labor in a lawsuit filed by a former dancer, Chun Ko Chang, who lives in Taiwan but used to dance for the group, claims that Shen Yun runs a sophisticated operation that's designed to identify and recruit vulnerable people to work as dancers and snare them in a system that dominates every aspect of their lives and force them to work grueling hours through multiple methods of control and coercion. And the suit also claims that dancers who step out of line are subjected to public humiliation and are not allowed to leave the group's compound or speak with their families. Well, a big day for a member of a family that has served in L.A. County politics for decades. That's coming up as Nonstop News 5 continues. Presented by My Lemon Law Lawyer. Text LEMON to 40333 for a free case review. The political and legal arguments continue over President Biden deciding to pardon his son Hunter. The president says any reasonable person would conclude that his son's cases were politically motivated and unfair. Joining us live now for more is L.A. legal analyst Anima Rahmani, who is a former federal prosecutor, now president of West Coast Trial Lawyers. Thanks for joining us today.
Rob, thanks for having me, as always.
So what changed here? And is it safe to for some of us to assume that this maybe had something to do with Donald Trump picking Kash Patel to head the FBI?
Rob, I'm going to go out on a limb and say this was planned the entire time. Nothing changed over Thanksgiving weekend at the Biden house. And I'm going to tell you why. There is a reason that Hunter Biden turned down that diversion deal, which is a gift. Never happens in federal court. I put more than 1,000 people in federal prison, never once offered diversion. And then when he came to Los Angeles, he walked into the courtroom on the day of trial with a jury deal and pleaded to all the counts in the indictment. It's very rare for a criminal defendant to do that. They always negotiate some sort of deal, drop some of the charges, get a reduced recommendation during the sentencing. The reason Hunter Biden did this, and he had great lawyers, is because he knew he had a pardon in his back pocket.
So what do you think would have happened if Kamala Harris had won the election?
I think Kamala Harris would be the one to pardon Hunter Biden. And obviously there is no Kamala Harris, and we're going to have a very different Department of Justice in January. So it was just a matter of time before President Biden did this. And he tried to sneak it in at the late hour on Sunday evening, thinking folks won't notice after he's been saying he won't do this for the past 6 months. But, you know, unfortunately, Joe Biden's sounding a lot like Donald Trump, attacking our criminal justice system, the Department of Justice, which really was his Department of Justice who went after his son. So pretty disappointing that both major party candidates are taking swipes at the DOJ.
Do you think this damages the respect for law and politicians getting involved in oversight of the legal system?
I think it does. This wasn't a political prosecution. Hunter Biden raised that argument in Delaware, raised that argument in California, it was rejected. Donald Trump raised that argument everywhere. This was a clear prosecution. I mean, he was a drug addict. He smoked crack cocaine. He had a gun. He didn't pay his taxes for years. He wrote off expenses related to prostitutes. I mean, this is someone that would have been prosecuted regardless of their name. Now, maybe they would have been prosecuted for felonies, but Hunter Biden had the opportunity to resolve this case for two no-time misdemeanors and diversion. If he kept his nose clean, he wouldn't have anything on his record at all, anything of substance. So this is really all his own doing. I don't think this was political at all. And two judges agreed with me.
So you don't think that Republicans, Donald Trump supporters in Congress, especially in the House, who went all in on, maybe we don't remember because it was so long ago, Hunter Biden's laptop, Hunter Biden, part of the Biden crime family, et cetera, and raising a lot of pressure, demanding that prosecutors throw the book at Hunter Biden, you don't think that had anything to do with the way the case was prosecuted?
I don't think so. I think it had to do with David Weiss being appointed special counsel. Once Hunter Biden blew up the deal, then it was Merrick Garland that said, okay, well, now that we're going to trial, we're going to investigate Hunter Biden for everything. And that's also why, Rob, this pardon was one of the broadest I've ever seen. Certainly the broadest going back to President Nixon. It covers everything for the past 10 years, not just the gun case in Delaware, the tax case here in L.A., it covers potential business dealings with Ukraine and China, FARA violations, obviously drug use, prostitution. It covers everything. President Biden wanted to make sure that Hunter couldn't be prosecuted for anything, at least at the federal level, starting 2025.
LA legal analyst Nima Romani, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Rob.
A well-known L.A. County supervisor has been sworn in for a third and a final time. That's coming up on Nonstop News at 5. Janice Hahn was sworn in today for the third and final time as an L.A. County supervisor. She talked about her family's long involvement with county government, but also focused on the future and dealing with the homeless crisis.
And most importantly, I'm going to work with my colleagues, Mayor Bass, and every one of the city leaders across my district to urgently and persistently bring people inside and off of our streets. I know every one of us feels a pang of sadness and a sense of responsibility when we drive by an encampment, knowing we can and should do better. And one thing we must take away from the recent election is that voters have not given up on solving our homelessness crisis. Voters approved Measure A, proving that they not only believe solutions exist, they're willing to pay more in taxes to invest in these solutions. Signal Hill, the small but mighty city surrounded by all sides of by Long Beach, became the first city in the county to reach functional zero homelessness this year. The term functional zero sounds so cold, but it means that the homelessness crisis has been addressed so thoroughly that almost everyone is inside, and when homelessness does happen, it is rare and brief. It is the goal that every one of us is striving for, and Signal Hill reached this not by turning their back on people in need. They partnered with the county, with Long Beach, on a Pathway Home operation that brought all of their 45 unhoused people in the city into a local hotel in a matter of days. And in the months since Signal Hill met this milestone, Redondo Beach did the same, less than 3 years after they set up their very first pallet home shelter site. So who will be next? We have representatives from every one of our 32 cities in my district here with us today. And I am confident that many of you could meet the challenge of your homelessness crisis and help the hundreds of people in your city get off the streets in our next 4 years together. It won't be easy. It takes political courage. And it takes embracing solutions, saying yes to housing, standing up to people who would rather see a shelter built in another city, and unhoused people just pushed along.
She talked about her dad, the late Kenneth Hahn.
Our father announced his run for county supervisor just a few days before I was born. We witnessed from a very early age the power Los Angeles County supervisor has to improve people's lives. Over the course of his 40 years as a supervisor, our father made a difference. Not just with big policy decisions and programs, but by solving people's individual problems. Yes, he started the paramedic program. He put call boxes on the freeways. He brought the Dodgers to Los Angeles. But he also invited people into our home when they knocked on our front door on Saturday mornings. He would sit them down, hear their problems, and promise that he would find a solution Monday morning. And over the last 3 weeks, that's a lot about what I've been thinking about. You know, what happens in Washington, D.C. matters. But when we're talking about the power to make people's lives better, that power rests with local government, especially with counties. You know, after my father passed, the Outlook newspaper ended their editorial about his passing this way. While we occasionally differed with his political positions, it's hard to criticize his overarching legacy, putting a human face on government and making it work for the average person. I hope at the end of this next 4 years That's what you'll say about me.
Janice Hahn beginning her third and final term as L.A. County Supervisor. Mixed day on Wall Street. The Dow closed down 129, the S&P up 15, and NASDAQ up 186.
This is the Bloomberg Business of Entertainment Report. Sony Music recently purchased the catalogs of Pink Floyd, Queen, and Bruce Springsteen. Sony Music Group Chairman Rob Stringer talked to us about the value of these assets.
Using the modern art concept, I think this music is priceless. And we bought name and likeness on two of those acts, so we own all the logos, merchandising, experiential potential, you know, event potential. There is no price, as far as I'm concerned, for Pink Floyd. There's no price. What price can you put on, what price is a, you know, a Picasso? You know, it's relative.
It was reported that Sony purchased the Queen catalog for more than $1 billion and the master recordings and likeness rights of Pink Floyd for $400 million. Stringer said the music will have a long life in the digital age on streaming services, but also for use in movies, Broadway shows, and other artistic endeavors. Karen Moscow, Bloomberg Radio.
That's your nonstop news at 5 for Monday, presented by My Lemon Law Lawyer. Text LEMON to 40333 for a free case review.